This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Happy Tuesday. It's Three Man Front on a cold. Yeah, it got cold all of a sudden. Wow. Feels like football season again, just as it's ending.
It feels like shopping season, Pat.
Shopping season.
Time for the holidays. Let's go shop. We're going to do our annual shopping at all the local shopping malls. Man, I kind of miss one of the malls here that we have close that they recently closed down. Right here in Homewood / Mountain Brook, I guess both sides. The Brookwood Mall.
Oh, okay.
Used to go there during the holiday season, just hang out in the food court. I don't know, it just felt different during Christmas time. And
it's still open.
I'm kind of bummed. Is it still open?
There's just nothing in there, but it's still open.
Oh, it's still open.
Well, not saying nothing. Got a Chick-fil-A, Homewood Theaters there. They've got something on the end.
Yeah. Just,
still got Macy's, right?
Maybe that's it, yeah. Something's on the end. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Just the, I don't know, it's a nostalgic thing. Used to go in there, and me and Cole Kublik and Ryan Haney would be slinging fast food there out of the food court. Busy time of year.
I worked in Brookwood Mall a couple times in my college days. So yeah,
we got pulled to the Galleria as well, and then that was really crazy. You thought Brookwood Mall was crazy during the holidays slinging fast food. Then you go over to Galleria, and it's like, whoa, this is the major leagues.
It was the minor leagues over there, right?
Yeah. Man, you talk about the crowd of folks that wanted hot dogs. Wow.
Well, last night, the big announcement, no big surprise. Bryce Young got the invite to New York. But the bigger surprise was the fact that Will Anderson, who ended up did get some hardware last night. He was the Bronco Nagurski Trophy Award winner. That's awarded by the Football Writers of Association of America. It's the Charlotte Touchdown Club. They announced Monday night that he was the winner for the best defensive player in college football. But weird thing happened. Heisman voters did not vote enough for Will Anderson because he will not be going to New York City. C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, Aiden Hutchinson. Yes, that Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, who in every major defensive statistical category is behind Will Anderson. He is making his way to New York. I think Aiden Hutchinson is an outstanding football player. I do not think that he is deserving to be there in New York over Will Anderson. But once again, the Heisman Trophy is proving the fact that a lot of people that vote for this award, I think they're out of touch with what goes on with the Heisman Trophy and with college football. And there's another just bright example of what happened last night.
And maybe it's because the award, it's been around for, you know, so long. But it seems like it's diminished a little bit. And I'm not exactly sure how to put my finger on it and where it's diminished. But does it seem that way to you? It's diminished a little bit?
I'll be honest with you. After Peyton Manning, after Charles Woodson won it over Peyton Manning that year, from that point on, I did not pay as close attention to it as I have. Now, obviously, if you're an Alabama football fan, things have gone really well for you over the last 12, 13 years with getting the first one and then getting a couple more. So, and probably going to get another one on Saturday. But I don't know. To me, it just seems like it's old, it's antiquated. And the fact of the matter is, like for instance, Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett has had a tremendous year. But you mean to tell me that Kenny Pickett should be there over Kenneth Walker of Michigan State, the kind of season he put together?
I don't know, man. Kenny Pickett, he put up some stupid numbers. If we're just going to say players across the board, yes, I would have Will Anderson there over Aiden Hutchinson, but I would say Kenneth Walker instead of Aiden and yeah, maybe bringing him in.
Yeah.
But there were a few games where Kenneth Walker, he was slowed. Now, he had some big games, some huge games, but he did have some games where it wasn't eye-popping stats. Of course, you could go back and you could make the argument, well, Mark Ingram, back the year he won the last regular season game where he had 30-something yards, and people thought that might diminish his chances. I don't know. I mean, I know there's still prestige with the Heisman Trophy, but it seems like now it's lost something, and I'm not really sure why, to be honest with you.
Well, Aiden Hutchinson becomes the sixth defensive player since 1998 to be invited to New York. You know who finished the highest of all those defensive players since 1998?
Ndamukong Suh.
I'll give you a hint. His girlfriend did not attend the ceremony with him in New York.
Because she's unbelievable.
I mean, just when you think of her, of his girlfriend, I mean, you can just.
I mean, she was unreal to me.
Yeah, absolutely unreal.
Gotcha. Yeah. Guy who got catfished. Notre Dame's own.
That is correct. Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o.
Yeah. However you want to say it.
Sometimes
that's how his girlfriend said it.
Sometimes he goes by Manti. Oh.
Yeah, I saw him play a fantastic game in the national championship game down in Miami.
His teammates played well.
Yeah, he finished second. He finished second in the Heisman Trophy race.
Couldn't you make the argument for
2012
for Sue and what he was able to do?
There's no question about that. What he did at Nebraska was tremendous.
Of all of the defensive players, I always thought that he had the best chance, as opposed to Charles Woodson.
He finished fourth.
Who was really good on special teams. And also Honey Badger, you can make the argument for him and the kind of year he had for LSU.
By the way, he finished fifth.
Charles Woodson put up better numbers than Desmond Howard.
Isn't that crazy?
The very next year.
Yeah.
See, that's I don't know. And I know it has to do with the field and the other candidates that are out there. But the fact that we're actually talking about Kenny Pickett, and Kenny Pickett had a really, really good year, a year that a lot of people didn't notice.
But would you put Kenny Pickett over Matt Corral? To me, I would have Matt Corral in New York before I'd have Kenny Pickett.
I think I might put Kenny Pickett over Matt Corral.
Okay. Make the Ole Miss fans in our
because without
listening
Kenny
audience
Pickett,
happy.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm being real.
Okay, so
there's a ton of skill around Matt Corral in system oriented as well. Matt Corral was fantastic.
Okay, so
Kenny Pickett does not win near as many games as they had.
Who's your three?
You
got to vote. You can only vote for three. That's the Heisman Trust. You only get three votes.
Okay, I'm going Bryce Young.
Okay,
I will go.
Obviously, Kenny Pickett.
Kenny
You've
Pickett.
Got a love affair with Kenny Pickett, so go
I'm
ahead.
A love affair with him.
Well, you keep putting him above everybody else.
Just saying you're kind of pooing on Kenny Pickett.
I'm not pooing on him. I just don't think he should be in New York.
And I would have Will Anderson third.
Okay. All right. John, how about you? If you're voting for the Heisman Trophy, who's your three?
Number one goes to Bryce Young. Number two would go to C.J. Stroud. Number three would be Kenneth Walker III.
Okay, so no Will Anderson.
No.
Okay, so all offensive players.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fortunately an offensive award. I do think he was a great player. Unfortunately, we're focused more on offense now, and I don't think he did anything. I don't mean to diminish what he did, but he didn't do anything like fully extraordinary that warranted my vote. He was the best player on potentially the best defense out there. I know Georgia statistically was, but when it really mattered, Bama was. But I mean, we didn't see him like break these like sack records. We didn't see him break these tackles. We didn't even see him do necessarily anything like that. So that's why I'm getting him all the defensive awards, but straight up Heisman, I think I gotta go with what I had.
Kenny Pickett had 42 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Is it hard to believe that Matt Corral only had 20?
I think what happened after the Tennessee game, because of his injuries and what happened after that, he completely changed the way that he was playing football this year because he was injured. Because I think that if he had been healthy, you would have seen Matt Corral put up incredible numbers both running and probably throwing. They had to change the way they were doing things at Ole Miss because of his injury. But I do want to go back to Aiden Hutchinson. I'm not picking on him, but again, you've seen everything on social media, the comparisons between Will Anderson and Aiden Hutchinson and so on and so forth. But I want to point out, because you can say and criticize all you want to about Nestler and Danielson. I know Gary Danielson takes a lot of heat, a lot of criticism with their broadcast of SEC games. But I will say this.
Keep Brad out of this.
Well, no, I'm giving them compliments because when you watch a Fox broadcast of their football, okay, it is nothing but a Big Ten love fest. That's all it is. That's always that way. It doesn't matter what week it is. Joel Klatt, C.J. Stroud is the most incredible player in the world. Okay, then Ohio State gets beat, and then all of a sudden it's Aiden Hutchinson. He better be in New York. This is the best team. And then all of a sudden all you heard during the Big Ten championship game was, you know what, Michigan is the number one team in America. They should do this. They should do that. So for all the criticism that you hear on the SEC broadcast about Gary Danielson, they do not pander to the Southeastern Conference. They do not pander to the players and coaches. That's exactly what Fox does. I like Gus Johnson. I love his passion. I love his excitement. But Joel Klatt is an embarrassment. He is absolutely a complete clown when he's doing these broadcasts. It is just pandering to the biggest degree to the Big Ten and everybody involved.
Well, Klatt's always been anti-SEC, so it's easy for him to gravitate to the second best conference in the land right now, and that would be the Big Ten. I mean, Joel Klatt used to try to make comparisons with the Pac-12 in the SEC. So that doesn't surprise me.
Well, and then they started making, you know, and again, I'm not defending Alabama. It's just the way that the only thing that they could take shots at the SEC about is towards the back end of a schedule when you have these lettuce games, okay, cupcake games, whatever you want to call them. And they were actually having a conversation are we going to put a team that was number one in America when they played New Mexico a couple weeks ago or whatever the case may be? So, again, everything that they could possibly find and point out the negativity they do to try to prop up Fox. And that's the same thing that Klyakoff is trying to do right now, because he's trying to put the brakes on the college football expansion because they need Fox to get into the bidding so that they feel like they've got a clearer playing field than the SEC does.
So when Alabama was playing Ole Miss at home and in conference play in week three of the college football season, and those teams in the Big Ten were playing the likes of Kent State and Akron, like Ohio State was doing, and those others, what does it really matter? If you play the bulk of your schedule there in the first part of the season, Alabama, by the way, they opened up with Miami. They didn't open up with Bowling Green, which I know Tennessee did. I'm just throwing out MAC teams because that's traditionally where the Big Ten will go to play their non-conference games. Now, I know that Ohio State, they had the matchup with Oregon, but that's not across the board, so it's easy for those guys to point at Alabama and go, oh, they play New Mexico. New Mexico State towards the end of the season. Well, look at the rest of their schedule. Go through it. It's just too easy.
It is.
And they know they get reaction when they go anti-SEC because we're passionate about it and we're going to call them to task.
Yeah, because people in Spokane, Washington don't really care if the Pac-12 gets a team in the college football playoff. George Klyakoff quote tweeted something that Kirk Herbstreit said on Saturday. He said, if we had an 8-team or 12-team playoff, Utah football is the team you would not want to play. Okay, Klyakoff, if you're quote tweeting what Kirk Herbstreit said on game day about Utah, then why are you dragging your feet in approving the college football playoff expansion? Because if you had an expanded playoff, guess who would be in the playoff, Landrum? A Pac-12 team. Utah. Playing better almost than anybody in the country, right? You'd want them in there.
They're playing well.
So why do you just maintain? Because the SEC continues to tell you, and Sankey does, hey, we're cool with four. Because look what just happened. We're always in the mix for two
Klyakoff,
teams.
I think Klyakoff is afraid to sign off on something right now because he's trying to cover all the possible outcomes and scenarios of how the Pac-12 will still get screwed. Because he's that unsure of his own conference and the brand that's in that conference. Especially now with Mario Cristobal leaving. With Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon, who's going to take that job? And what if the recruiting dips at Oregon? What if a young coach in Kalen DeBoer that goes and takes over Washington isn't much better than the coach they just hired and he lasted, 13 and a half games?
Mm-hmm.
What if that happens and you have one team in that conference where we thought Arizona State could possibly be? Kyle Whittingham retires, hangs it up. There's rumors that he could do that, and he leaves Utah. And he goes and, you know, hangs out at the beach with Coach O. Then where's the Pac-12? I think you've got some serious concerns now where the bell cow, and maybe you get USC back to where we think USC is going to be, but Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon, that hurts that conference.
No question. There's no question about that. And speaking of Oregon and Mario Cristobal, he was named earlier this morning officially as he had his introductory press conference there in Coral Gables, Florida, as he takes over for his alma mater, the Miami Hurricanes. So the names that we brought up yesterday, the initial list that came out, you saw Brian Harsin's name mentioned for that job. When you look at the Oregon 247 side, I'm going to give you the names that they list, okay?
All right.
Once again, Chip Kelly is number one on their list.
Why? Why? Can we just stop right there?
58 years old.
Oh, I know he has familiarity. I know that the offense was a lot of fun and you played for a national championship. But let's see how far offenses have evolved and defenses the way that they played those particular offenses.
Landrum, UCLA finished 16th in scoring this year.
Awesome. Wonderful.
I'm just telling you.
Why Chip Kelly?
And he's got a $9 million buyout. Now, again, what Miami is paying Oregon to get Cristobal out of his deal, what was it, about $7 million? Something like that? So
where is UCLA right now in recruiting?
Just off the top of my head, I would probably say maybe not even top 30. Maybe you can back me up on that. Going down the list, Justin Wilcox from California. That is a hot name. I think he wants to get out of Berkeley.
They're 47th right now.
47th. See,
47th.
Right.
So you needed somebody to replace the recruiting prowess of Mario Cristobal, who just lost his top three recruits to from the state of Alabama, with Chip Kelly, a guy who doesn't like to recruit, makes no bones about it.
It is difficult.
It sucks at it when he does it.
Come on, dude. It is difficult to recruit to Westwood, California. I mean, have you been to the western part of Los Angeles?
I know. All the ugly co-eds. I get it.
I mean, that is a difficult
place.
Taxes
are unreal.
Oh, the taxes? Yeah.
Taxes are crazy.
I mean, that's just not a good
place. Allergic to palm trees.
Yeah, just not a good place.
All that greenery and foliage.
All right, so again, Kelly, Justin Wilcox, Dave Aranda. Don't know about that.
Dave Aranda, see, I kind of like that.
Well, I mean, I like Aranda it, but I don't know if he would do that. But Brian Harsin is once again mentioned.
That makes sense.
I'm just going to read you what the Oregon 247 behind the paywall, what they said about Brian Harsin.
You're afraid Auburn fans are going to come after you for mentioning this?
No, I'm citing a source.
Yeah.
It's not stuff I'm making up here.
Right. I didn't think you were.
It says through back channels, Brian Harsin has made it clear that he's very interested in the now open Oregon job.
Hmm.
Harsin was interested in Oregon and Washington for years, but left Boise State after the 2020 season thinking neither job would ever open up. They've both now opened up this offseason. Will Oregon call, though? Harsin refused to discuss his vaccination status as a state employee at Auburn this year, and that might cause some cause for concern among some at Oregon, but it should be something that all parties could work past. He makes $5.25 million a year and has won 10 or more games 5 times as head coach. Harsin has also led Boise State as a head coach to a Fiesta Bowl win. So, again, the headline there, through back channels, according to Oregon's 247 site called Duck Territory, through back channels, Brian Harsin has made it clear that he's very interested in the now open Oregon job.
Hmm. Doesn't surprise me one bit. Yeah, look, he was interested in the Washington job. And I think Washington had interest in him. They decided they were going to go a different way.
And we all agree that Oregon's a better job than Washington.
It's a better job than Washington. I actually think Brian Harsin would be a good fit just because of his mentality, what he wanted to do, and kind of what Mario Cristobal wanted to bring and did bring, kind of the SEC style, that physical, tough play to the Pac-12.
And if I'm not mistaken, his buyout at Auburn is not that ridiculous.
No, it's not. I think it's right now, I think it's around $6 million, something like that.
Yeah, and based on all these other buyouts that we hear, that's extremely reasonable.
No, that's totally reasonable. And given the fact that Oregon was prepared to make Mario Cristobal an $8.5 million a year coach and Cristobal walked, you know, I don't know. The vaccination thing, who knows? I know December 4th, that was the deadline for your first vaccination, and your second vaccination, you have to have proof by January 18th.
according to University of Oregon, all employees must be fully vaccinated by, I think it's the 4th of January.
By the 4th of January.
That's okay. Just University of Oregon.
So I guess he couldn't officially be named. I don't know. I don't know how this works with the vaccinations. But, okay, so keep going through your list because I know there's other names.
Yeah, there are other names that will maybe probably make you openly laugh, but, hey, who would have thought Lincoln Riley would have been at USC, right?
Yeah.
So you never know. They've got Urban Meyer on this list. They've got Chris Peterson, former Washington coach.
Makes more sense than Urban Meyer.
Lane Kiffin. Again, Lane, well, I don't know if he's officially signed his deal
yet.
Did they know
that he just got the deal for $7.25 million that will increase to $7.55 million in 2025?
Maybe not. They're on the West Coast. It might take a while to get the newspapers. I don't know. Now, this one is an intriguing name to me. Chicago Bears analyst and former Texas head coach Tom Herman.
Herman's an interesting name.
46 years old, and given, working there in the NFL.
Look, you think Texas fans now are like, maybe we didn't have it so bad with Tom Herman. Just saying Sark and the way that Texas kind of rolled down.
Well, Tom Herman is wishing that he was the head coach under the NIL, where, you know, now that if you're an offensive lineman at Texas, you're going to get $50,000 cash.
Right.
Just for being an offensive lineman.
Pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
It was only a matter of time before that started happening, by the way.
So again, Oregon's 247 site. These are the coaches that they have listed on their hot board. Chip Kelly, Justin Wilcox, Dave Aranda, Brian Harsin, Kalani Sitake. Did not bring his name up. His name's getting a lot of play. Urban
Meyer.
I think
that would work at Oregon.
Yeah. Urban Meyer, Chris Peterson, Lane Kiffin, and Tom Herman.
Mm. So where is Oregon?
So if you're an Auburn fan, are you worried about Brian Harsin possibly going to Oregon?
I think if you're an Auburn fan, you hate to think that you would be changing coaches after just 1 year and hoping that Brian Harsin, I mean, from what I've heard from Auburn fans, I haven't heard an Auburn fan saying, well, I hope he takes that job.
No, I don't think anybody wants him to leave.
I think Auburn fans want Brian Harsin to succeed, and they're behind him. But, you know, where is Brian Harsin right now?
Now, Brian Harsin was named head coach at Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. Was it December 22nd? Does that seem right? Last year?
Yes, it does. It seems.
It was right before Christmas.
It's within.
It was after signing day.
Yeah, because signing day was the 15th. Yeah, it was a week after.
Yeah. So, sure.
Maybe the carousel's not done spinning yet.
Well, look, if Oregon was prepared to make, you know, Brian Harsin, I don't know what's going on, the inner workings of Harsin and his relationship with not necessarily Allen Green. I think things are chipper there, but just others that are around that program and influential. But who knows? I don't think it's done. I think you're right, Pat. I think there are still more dominoes to fall, other shoes to drop, just the tip of the iceberg.
Speaking of the Auburn job, Brent Venables, who is now the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, during his introductory press conference, he brought up Auburn. We will play that audio for you and discuss what potentially could have happened if he had taken the Auburn job. More on Three Man Front when we come back.
This is Three Man Front.
Three Man Front, Jackson 94.5, Landrum Roberts, Pat Smith, John Saber. What Brent Venables had to say in his introductory press conference, coming up in just a moment. We know what's coming up. The most wonderful time of the year. When the weather is cold and holiday parties are coming soon, you got to turn your annual holiday party up a notch and host it at Twin Peaks. An unforgettable experience that might be tough to remember. Twin Peaks, never settle.
Brent Venables named the next head coach at Oklahoma. Of course, he's someone that knew Bob Stoops really well. Bob Stoops was his coach back in college. And then, of course, when Bob Stoops got the job at Oklahoma, he brought him on board. He was linebacker's coach. Then he was longtime defensive coordinator before 2011. He went on to Clemson to be their DC. Now he's the head coach back in Norman. What was interesting about something he said during his press conference yesterday, want to play it and get your reaction, Landrum. This is Brent Venables from yesterday.
To my children, y'all love this story. Sometimes you need just a little bit more encouragement to get you pulled through the knot hole. So my daughter and I, about a month ago, were laying up in her bed and we're saying prayers. And I'm always telling you to dream big, right? Don't put limitations on yourself. Don't let somebody tell you that you can't accomplish something. So she says, "Well, Dad, why didn't you take the Auburn job last year?" Because I had made reference that I was a little bit nervous. I really didn't think we had the alignment there that we have here. So I was a little bit nervous. I said, I was scared for her. She says, "You don't have to be scared. You told us to dream big. Chase your dreams," she told me. So they're the ones that fueled me, okay, to make that final decision to say yes to Oklahoma.
So there you go. So obviously Brent Venables was long and far enough into a conversation with Auburn where, according to him, he was offered the job, basically turned it down, or at least his daughter said he turned it down, and said it just didn't seem like it lined up, wouldn't have fit.
Look, I don't question Brent Venables as a defensive coach, as a defensive coordinator. His track record speaks for itself. I do wonder if Brent Venables has the ability to build a program, manage a program like what it's going to take at Oklahoma, what it would have taken at Auburn. I think so many times we get enamored and with the big name and fans, the big name, the hot name at the time. I mean, I'm hearing Joe Brady. Joe Brady for any position anywhere right now after he was just fired by the Carolina Panthers. We saw 1 year, and it was miraculous, of Joe Brady and what he was able to do with Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and that offensive line and Thaddeus Moss. I mean, my gosh, he was coaching an NFL offense. He was dialing up plays for an NFL offense. Brent Venables has had what he calls creatures on defense. In the defensive line, elite players. Number one, how are you going to get those players to your campus? How are you going to sell Oklahoma and playing for you over every other coach that actually has a history of as a head coach? A lot of people don't know these guys. Oh, Brent Venables. Oh, yeah, he was the defense coordinator. Where? Oh, yeah, it was Clemson. They don't know him as a head coach. What is that going to look like? Because if I remember correctly, Tom Herman, he was the hottest name ever out of Ohio State, was he not?
He was.
He was a can't-miss OC to go and hire LSU. It was LSU. LSU, we want Tom Herman. And then he goes to Texas, and that's going to be an instant success. You can go back to, I mean, Kevin Sumlin, how he got his start. Now, Kevin Sumlin, yeah, he had some good years. But it's so easy to get caught up in this. I think that if you're Auburn, maybe you're happy, number one, that you did go and get Brian Harsin, a guy who has been a head coach. He's also been a coordinator, and he's not cutting his teeth on your campus for your program.
So you think it was more of an unfit from an Auburn perspective for Venables, because apparently, according to the daughter and based on the story you just heard, that Auburn offered him the job.
I think it was probably more on Venables' end. And I don't know what categorizes not a good fit for Brent Venables, like what he's looking for. I don't know. I think Auburn fans will get behind any coach if you win football games.
But Auburn would have won any more games this year if Brent Venables was the head coach over Brian Harsin.
You're not going to convince me of that. No. No.
You don't think he could have taken Auburn to 6-6?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do I think that it's clear cut that he goes, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Ryan Harsin is really close to going 8-4, possibly 9-3. So maybe Brent Venables was the difference in those games. But I thought Derek Mason did a pretty damn good job handling that defense.
He did till the fourth quarter of the Iron Bowl.
Yeah. And yeah, if you want to make the argument, second half of the Mississippi State game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He had a few chinks in his armor.
And the two plays that South Carolina ran in the second half.
You better stop talking, because by the time we end this conversation, you're going to have all 12
games.
Why
didn't you hire Brent Venables? No.
No, I had not. Again, we cover this just like most of our listeners on a 247 basis. And I did not know that Auburn had so-called officially given him that option to be the head coach.
And it doesn't seem like maybe he didn't, because in the story, what he says is all the daughter says, why didn't you take the job? That doesn't mean it was offered. Maybe that's why they were misaligned. They were probably, hey, are you interested in it? And so he's talking to his family, hey, I'm thinking about taking the offer. There's a difference between somebody having or expressing interest and actually getting offered the job. Because if he wasn't offered it, maybe that's probably why they were.
Yeah, because she asked him, why didn't you take the Auburn job?
Yeah.
And he didn't have the heart to say, well, honey, they didn't offer it to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Ah, they never offered
it. Yes, Virginia,
it.
There is a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all indications are that they are still trying to get Lebby out of Oxford. That is the story. Most people in Oklahoma believe it is going to happen sooner than later. Matter of fact, some people over in Oxford think that it's done, that they're just kind of waiting for Lebby to tell the Ole Miss people that he's leaving.
It seems like that would be a good fit for Jeff Lebby, a guy who's obviously very familiar with Oklahoma. I think that style of offense, that's what they're looking for. That's why I was surprised that they would go with a guy like Brent Venables. But Venables, being a defensive-minded guy, to bring in an offensive-minded fellow like Jeff Lebby, saying, okay, maybe he takes the Dabo Swinney route. And Dabo, he just gave Brent Venables, that side of the ball and said, you take it. You handle it. And I'll handle everything else. And a Dabo being maybe a little bit of a CEO, but Tony Elliott is his OC. So I don't know. I'm just not sold. I'm not sold on a lot of these coordinators we hear now where it's, oh, well, he's out there. We can get him. I mean, don't you think that Texas fans, I can remember, weren't they really fired up? And Sark may end up doing really, really well. But you want to talk about the polish that has dulled on that hire and the way that they finished this season.
Well, a lot of these coordinators remind me of what you experienced in March Madness when you got a lot of mid-majors and they go on a run. And all of a sudden, these guys become the can't-miss guys for the major Power 5 programs. We've seen it time and time again. Somebody catches lightning in a bottle. They get hot. Then they end up finding themselves in the Sweet 16, the Great 8, or heck, maybe even the Final Four. Then that becomes the hot name that they need to go out and hire.
Yeah, it's I think it's so tough. It's so tough now for athletic directors because there is not just an absolute shoe-in. There is not that shoe-in guy because now it is win now, and then next year win more and more and more.
Yeah, there's no five-year program. I mean, a five-year plan.
No, so
that's out the window.
No matter how your program looks now with the guy that comes in and inherits it, you are instantly expected to flip it immediately.
Think about Manny Diaz. His story is incredible. His father used to be the mayor of Miami. I mean, he's from that community. And he went down there and they were hiring somebody before they fired him. It was a public execution of Manny Diaz.
Bad. It's a bad look. But that's what you when
but that's,
you,
but that's
you
what
don't
you
have an
sign
acting
up for
athletic
now.
Director. But yeah, that's the way it is. And there's no apologies, and everybody will forget about how they handled that by tomorrow. It's the way it is.
Just win, baby.
That's what it is. It's just win. And now how these coaches or, Brian Kelly, at least he was able to go back and he met with his team face-to-face and told them goodbye. Now, whether they cared at that point, now, I don't know.
All right, let's look in the SEC quickly. Billy Napier, how many years do you think Florida honestly gives him? Because based on track record, they don't have a very good track record over the last decade in regards to patience. Now, I believe Strickland will be fired. He'll be fired pretty quick.
I think Billy.
They give him 3 years?
Well, it just depends. What does that 3 years look like?
You get beat by Georgia three times, finish maybe 8 wins, the ceiling.
If he doesn't make Atlanta at all, he's gone in 3 years.
Think so?
Yeah. He doesn't necessarily have to beat Georgia to do it, but if he doesn't make Atlanta, I think, yeah, if he doesn't make Atlanta, he's definitely gone. If he gets Georgia, say, 2 of those 3 times, but doesn't make Atlanta at all, I think that he gets more than the 3, but Mullen just had 3 years, didn't he?
No, I mean, based on who Florida plays over there and just looking at the SEC East, I think that he needs to win at least 10 games in those 3 years. At least one season he needs to hit 10 games.
Oh, 10 per year, not total.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. I was gonna
he
say.
Needs to have a 10-win season in one of those 3 years.
Or he's in trouble.
And be showing where the build is on and showing that ascension. Or, yeah, I think that they're going to be quick to pull the trigger. Like, hey, we were quick to pull the trigger on Mullen. Didn't like the way that it was going. We haven't seen anything in these 3 years. Yeah, go ahead. He's out. He's done.
Because in that time, I imagine at the very least, at the latest, by the time those 3 years are up, that's when Texas and Oklahoma are coming in. Mm-hmm. If not sooner, but at least.
You got to get a little momentum before that happens.
Correct, yes. And like Texas A&M coming to this conference, I wouldn't be surprised if Florida would want to, let's just start fresh, find someone, just throw out, I'm just saying, let's say Urban Meyer, whatever, I'm just throwing out a name, doesn't matter, whatever, just someone to start fresh and bring in and with a new look league, rather than stick with this guy who's hasn't gotten us to Atlanta, who's led us to 9 wins once and 8 wins twice.
Yeah. You know, going back to the guys that have never been head coaches, you know, Lincoln Riley, he had a pretty good deal. And he's a very talented offensive mind. But he was there in the program. And he was familiar with how things were run. And it was turnkey. It was. It'd be hard to screw it up. I mean, you're taking over a program that had been the bell cow in that particular conference for years and years and years. To a degree, Oklahoma is going to recruit itself in the Big 12. But with some of these other guys they're bringing in and just asking, you know, hey, let's instantly get there. I don't think it's realistic, but the reality is you better win. You better win big and you better win now. Take your phone calls, 800-239-WJOX. Let's go to Rick. He's in Pelham. Rick, welcome into Three Man Front.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Couple things. A couple weeks ago, y'all asked, I don't remember who it was, but if they thought that one of Alabama's coordinators, whether it's offense or defense, would be at Alabama next year. Do you think Bill O'Brien gets another job somewhere? Is he still on the staff next year? And where does Joe Brady end up? Does he end up back at LSU? Does he end up somewhere else? And another thing, Landrum, I hadn't forgot, man, your cheese balls that you like, not the off brand, but the other ones, now are sold at every Dollar General you walk into.
The Planters cheese balls, right?
The Planters cheese balls are at every Dollar General you can walk into on the dollar aisle, bottom shelf, dollar can. Saw some the other day, thought, man, Landrum would do a backflip right now for a can of those. Y'all have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Rick.
Got
appreciate
a can or two. I bought them some time ago. Back there, he never wanted. So.
Well, no. Those are actually the vintage. That is the collector's can when they first came out me, and I never opened them, and they're still sitting there, the unopened.
Oh, okay.
My grandparents had one of the Bear Bryant Alabama, you know, commemorative Coke bottles mm-hmm. that they never opened. I always wondered, you know, as a kid, I was like, why don't you ever drink that? They're like, no, you don't touch that. Don't touch that at all. That's good news, by the way, on the players. To his point, Bill O'Brien, Virginia Tech was the job that he was most closely, you know, potentially linked to. No other real interest, we don't believe, from he or any other schools. Pat, I'll let you go. I expect Pete Golding to be there at Alabama next year, and unless something changes, I expect Bill O'Brien to be there.
Yeah, in just my opinion, if there's an NFL situation that opens up, because we all know what that Black Monday is going to look like after the regular season ends with just firings and firings and firings, you never know. I mean, is Judge going to make it at New York for the Giants?
I don't think so.
I mean, so if he's gone, you know, do they look at a Bill O'Brien? So I think Bill O'Brien's name is going to be mentioned for some NFL jobs, but as far as college job openings go, I think that cycle has pretty much missed out of where potentially he could land. But again, I think the NFL is the most likely scenario for him if he's not back on the Alabama staff.
And Joe Brady, he's going to end up on a college staff. Now, where he ends up as either an OC, I wouldn't think as a head coach, but you never know.
But, you know, there are conversations. I've heard this from numerous people that Joe Brady's name has been mentioned in connection with Cristobal at Miami. So now that Cristobal is hitting the ground running, and he's going to be starting to put a staff together.
And that's where Joe Brady's from.
And Joe Brady's from South Florida.
That makes sense.
You know, maybe you take a chance, and maybe you bring him in for a couple years.
Well, it's still a name that if you're able to grab him now, you can go back and you can show every recruit what Joe Burrow and that offense did at LSU in 2019.
Yep.
I don't think Joe Brady, even though if, you know, supposedly the Brinks truck is being backed up to try to get him, I don't think that Brian Kelly wants to have anything associated with Coach O and that former staff back on his staff with his new start at LSU. Would you say that that's probably fair?
That is fair.
I think that that puts you in a bad position because of the success, and just think about how many things could go wrong. Well, Joe Brady, he's not getting it done. Well, it must be Brian Kelly's fault. Well, Brian Kelly's not letting him do what Coach O, you know. He's restricting him.
Yeah.
There's so many different things negative that could come out of that. I think it's probably a bad idea. But Cristobal grabbing him, maybe that is a good idea. He's really tough if you're expecting him and his offense, whenever he comes in, to put up the kind of numbers 2019 LSU put up. That's the point. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. Lots more to come as far as the college football route and more. Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5. Oh, things that you wish you could unsee. Turn the volume down so we don't have to hear. What is that racket going on? The cheesiest thing you have ever seen that USC did with Lincoln Riley. And I don't even know. You can just put that out on Twitter where people can see it. Lincoln Riley going into a room after he's introduced, and then you have like 9 band members,
awkward,
3 cheerleaders,
awkward.
Spontaneously start dancing, and I don't know what's going on.
And
there.
Lincoln Riley's face is
Lincoln
like,
Riley's what? Sitting there like, this is...
I'm so glad I'm getting $12 million for this.
Yeah, that's what he had to keep thinking was, man, they gave me the world to come here. I'm just going to sit here, and as embarrassed as I am and as awkward as this is, I'm going to get through it.
Well, in the break, we'll tweet it out on the Three Man Front Twitter feed. So we'll give you an opportunity to kind of maybe midday at lunchtime, get a good laugh because it is awkward. It is, I don't know if I've ever seen this.
Some of the moves by the cheerleaders, though, I will say the choreography, that would be tough to duplicate with some of the stuff that they were breaking out there. And if you tried, you might have to go to Archetype there in Homewood. Dr. John Palmer, his staff, chiropractic care. They take care of myself, Cole Kublik, and also Matt McLaren. They will take care of you. I went and got an adjustment yesterday. Already feel so much better after doing some things that I typically don't do over the weekend, like putting up Christmas lights at odd angles and trying to replicate what Bryce Young did against Georgia in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Archetype in Homewood. Check them out. 205-803-1234 or archetype.health for more information. Let's go to Jeremy. He's in Florida, listening on the Jocks 94.5 app. Jeremy, welcome to Three Man Front.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, I wanted to pose a question. With Bryce Young almost certainly being the Heisman this weekend and him having to return to school, will he become the first active Heisman winner that's still a student athlete that could be in the Heisman House commercials because of the NIL deal?
That's a great question.
I would say yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's eligible.
Yep.
So I think Nissan would probably sign him up immediately.
Well, I mean, why would you not?
Yeah, I think he would jump on that as well.
Yeah. Why would you not have all the Alabama Heisman Trophy winners there together in a commercial? And then you have maybe you do something with Bo Jackson, I don't know, on the other seat, and Tebow and the rest of the SEC winners that are there, and they're just looking at Alabama with all their Heisman hardware. I you could get creative with it.
It's going to be it would become the biggest NIL deal so far, I would think, right? Or at least the most. Well, I don't know. You had Dr. Pepper with the Clemson quarterback.
Hey, you talk about return on investment, and we were all kind of laughing that he had only, you know, thrown 20-something passes and one touchdown heading into this year, but Bryce Young wins the Heisman. Man, kudos to the companies that signed him up. And you know what he's going to demand as a returning Heisman Trophy winner next season? Woo!
Yes, and from what everything I've read about it, he's been very picky about his choices, who to sign with, protecting his brand. So I could
tell you, you know, talking to some current players and people around that program, they will tell you that he is an outstanding teammate. He's soft-spoken, but he loves ball. He loves his team. And, you know, he really doesn't try to put himself above the team. And you can hear in the interviews, especially a lot of the post-game stuff that you've heard after the Iron Bowl and after the SEC championship game. So I think his humility will obviously be on the national stage even more on Saturday when he picks up the hardware.
He comes across very genuine. You know, some people put on an act, but he comes across very, very genuine.
Yeah, teammates love him. Teammates love him.
The interview he did with Tim Tebow, well, the cast with ESPN Nation, but Tim Tebow was on there with him when he kind of spoke to Tim Tebow personally. You could kind of, his faith in God came across, and it seemed very genuine.
Absolutely. Hey, Jeremy, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening on the Jax 94.5 app. Mario Cristobal, he's your new head coach in Coral Gables. What does that mean? What does getting back mean for the U? How quickly can Mario do it and the impact he could have, not only in the ACC, in college football? Is Miami a sleeping giant? We'll continue to discuss. Your phone call is welcome, 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. Also coming up the next hour, Mike Griffith from Athens, Georgia, DogNation.com. It explains how and why the beatdown occurred versus Alabama on Saturday.
This is Three Man Front on Jax 94.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.